Good morning and welcome. This is Heidi Hahn-Scott, your weight loss mentor for the Right Body, Right Life 12-week intensive. So glad you're taking time for yourself and your self-care this morning. We have some exciting things to cover today, some eye-opening things, some honesty things, and maybe some painful things to realize. We're going to learn how to uncover your own personal trigger foods and learn how actually avoiding those foods gives you personal freedom. I'm going to help you discover what foods have a narcotic-like effect on the brain and they keep you hooked. We're going to talk about willpower versus chemical reaction and learn self-forgiveness. It may not be your fault. We're going to take the 20-question quiz to uncover whether you may be a food addict or emotionally addicted to food. And lastly, learn the triple A spirit, the awareness, acceptance, and action as a self-rescue remedy. I would love to know by a show of hands, press 1 on your keypad, if you've had at least one perfect day of following your meal plan to a T, meaning eating 4 to 6 hours apart and weighing and measuring each meal. See a lot of hands up and some not up, so that's something to strive towards. I wanted to share something with you this morning that I was thinking about, and if we're going to stay thin and healthy, we've got to learn to want something else more than we want the food. And until we do that, we have to stop eating those trigger foods and food that's off our program on faith that someday we really will want something else more than having those foods or doing, you know, the lifestyle that we've been doing previously. And until we get there, we won't have the faith. And so that's kind of the oxymoron of doing a program like this, is we have to act on faith and go with those that have gone before us and know that the, you know, the benefits happen then. So I know for myself, when I was beginning to do this and I would eat really well one day, and when I say really well, it was what I intended to do to take care of my body. I would go to sleep feeling empowered, confident, trust in myself. I felt proud of myself. And then the days when I didn't do that and I didn't eat or I ate too much or I chose things that I didn't want, I would go to bed feeling mad at myself, making another promise that tomorrow would be different, just kind of that resolve of, oh, don't think about it. You know, there's many emotions that we each go through on each end of that. And so I'd love to see a show of hands of any of you that have just had an out-and-out binge, like you just ate so far off program and like said, screw it, and way overate. Yeah, I see everybody. We've all done it, so we all know how that feels. We can access how that feels, and this is part of awareness, you know, looking at how we feel the days we do our program, how we feel the days we don't. And if you haven't printed out that awareness worksheet yet, I would definitely print it out. And even if you don't do the journaling, read it, have it in your mind, start getting honest with yourself. This is part of having recovery around relationship with food. So I posted a document. It's called 20 Questions, and it's to look at whether you may be an emotional eater or a food addict. And I actually would like to take the time to go through those questions right now. And if you don't have the paper in front of you, I will read it to you. You can do this later as your own self-reflection. So right now, as I read through these questions, you're just going to write yes or no. If you don't have a paper in front of you, just kind of keep a mental count on your fingers of how many you're answering yes to and how many no's, or you can just write yes or no. Later, I'd love for you to print out the document, answer the questions, and then write a particular experience about, and there's directions on it. So it says, answer the questions below as honestly as you can with a yes or no. If you answer yes to any question, write a brief example of a specific time this happened. So that'll be your self-work this week, is to write those specific times that that happened. Right now, we're going to go through it as an awareness exercise, so all you have to do is answer yes or no. So we'll start now. Have you ever promised yourself you would eat differently today, only to end up eating the food you did not intend to eat. Next question, do you think about your food or weight constantly? Number three question, are you unhappy with your body, no matter what size you are? Number four, do you find yourself attempting one diet or food plan after another with no lasting success? I encourage you to answer each question for yourself. It is a yes or a no, and if it's a sometimes, then it's a yes. So that means only if you've done two in your life have you had lasting success with them. And number five, have you ever eaten to excess and then gotten rid of the food through vomiting, exercise, laxatives, or any other forms of purging? Okay, and number six, do you eat differently in private than you do in front of other people? And number seven, has a doctor or family member ever approached you with concern about your eating habits or weight? Just answering these questions honestly for yourself, writing yes or no. And number eight, do you eat large quantities of food at one time or binge? Is your weight problem due to your nibbling all day long, kind of grazing throughout the day? And number 10, do you use food when you're stressed or upset as a comfort or coping mechanism? And do you eat when you're really not hungry? And do you eat in secret? And number 13, do you fast or severely restrict your food intake? And 14, have you ever stolen other people's food? And 15, have you ever hidden food to make sure that you have enough? This is something that I did. I used to love chocolate cake, and I would put it in my room because I didn't want to share it with my kids. So that's an example of hiding food to make sure you have enough, in quotes. Number 16, do you frequently feel guilty or ashamed after you have eaten? Number 17, do you feel hopeless about losing weight or keeping it off? Number 18, do you find that once you start eating sugar, that it's hard to stop? And number 19, does the way you eat directly affect your self-esteem? And number 20, have you lost trust in yourself to stick to any healthy eating plan for life? So these questions are not to make a judgment. They're to bring awareness. And if you answered yes to five or more of those questions, there's a good chance that you may be emotionally addicted to food or a food addict. The difference of emotional eating and food addiction is food addicts also emotionally overeat. Addiction is something that we're born with. It's not really a choice. It's a part of our genetics, and when it gets triggered, we have an uncontrollable urge and obsession around whatever the addiction is. With emotional eating, if you are not a food addict, it becomes a habitual response to stress, to being tired, to needing comfort. If you're not having your needs met, you go to food to bring yourself comfort. So it becomes a survival skill. So when you're having an emotion, you eat. And, you know, it starts very young. When we are crying, what did our mom do? They stuck food in our mouth. And so we get that habitual response of whatever's going on with me, food will fix it. Our parents didn't always know that, you know, there might be something else going on. They just gave us food. So that kind of starts very young. And then as we go through life, as children, we don't get all our needs met. Our parents aren't capable of doing that, and some of us have more severe stories than others. And then as adults, we're busy, and we still continue not to get all our needs met. And so on one of the next three calls, we're going to go really into depth of what needs in your life are not getting met, and what needs are you suppressing and then compensating by eating food. So that's a concept to start thinking about, and that's emotional eating. When we comfort ourselves with food to comfort the emotion, to suppress the emotion, to deny the emotion, and then that food becomes a habitual response to stress or negative emotion. So food addiction, like I said, is genetic. And once people start eating, they normally can't stop. And let me give you an example of this. With smoking or alcohol or drugs, they have found in the recovery community that only by taking away the substance can people get help. So the dilemma is, wow, well, you can't take away food. But there is different lines of belief. Now, this is my opinion. This is my research. It is not, you know, set in stone. There's a lot of controversy out about this. But in my opinion, when you take away a cigarette or alcohol, it relieves the addict because the power comes before you put the addictive substance in your body. If you choose to put the addictive substance in your body, that's where you lose control. And people say, oh, addicts have weak willpower, or they can't just say no, or why can't they just have one? It's because their body metabolizes it different than other bodies. Once it's in their system, it makes a chemical in their brain that they cannot control. It's much very similar to the makeup of heroin. So if you have heroin in your brain, you're not going to be thinking like you were 20 minutes ago before you put that substance in your body. So this happens with nicotine, it happens with drugs, it happens with alcohol. Normal bodies process those drugs and they go out of your system. An addict body takes that substance in, makes a chemical very similar to heroin, gets a craving and an obsession that is uncontrollable, and that's why addicts continue to do more. So with food, it's similar. It's similar for everybody with sugar because sugar makes a chemical in your brain that is very similar to that, and we talked about that on call one, how it has a narcotic effect on the brain. So when you're eating sugar, especially in a weight loss phase, and I mean refined sugar, not fruit sugar, the way that it processes in your body sets up craving. It sets up obsession. And so many people have a harder time losing weight while they're having sugar in their diet. Now, a food addict, if you put sugar in their diet, they just can't stop. With food addiction, I have found that abstinence from particular trigger foods allows for freedom. Just like if you were a smoker and you were told to smoke 3 cigarettes a day, it would be impossible. So if you are a food addict, having, you know, weighed and measured cookie amounts or sugar amounts would be impossible. Now, for people that are not addicts, they can have moderation with food after they learn to change the emotional eating response. So that's a behavior correction. So we're talking about a behavior correction and a chemical correction. And even for the food addict, the behavior correction has to start, but they may have to abstain from certain foods altogether to have relief. I would consider myself a food addict, and I have tried every single way to have moderation in my diet, and it doesn't work for me. Once I add sugar or flour or certain junk foods, it trips my trigger, and my craving and obsession is released, and I am unable to control it. So for me to have control and relief and freedom, I abstain from those particular trigger foods. So part of what my intention in this program is to give you a lot of knowledge, a lot of awareness, so that you can start looking at yourself honestly. You know, am I a food addict? Am I an emotional eater? What is my relationship with food? How do I change these patterns so that I can have the longevity of a healthy lifestyle? And I encourage you to do all the self-work that I put on Club Shed. You know, this is the part that changes your life. The food plan will help you lose weight, but sticking to it is not going to happen without having the mindset change and the self-transformation work. So you don't have to do it in a timely manner. This is for the rest of your life, but I encourage you to do it piece by piece. So my intention in this whole program is to bring awareness. This is the AAA, awareness, acceptance, action. It's a self-rescue remedy. You can apply it to anything in your life. Awareness is becoming aware, gathering insight, information to bring you knowledge about what your current behavior really is and what it really does for you and to you. The first step to solving any problem is to fully understand where you're starting from. You can't change a behavior until you know what it's really about. This includes understanding why you eat and how what you eat really affects your body. My own personal story of awareness with this food addiction was, you know, many years of awareness of trying different diets. You know, the diets I had success on, interestingly enough, were fasting. I could do fasting really well because choice was taken off the table and I was only eating one thing, like, you know, the liquid diet or just fruit or something like that, made it really easy for me. I had success on Atkins. Guess what? No flour and no sugar. The diets I didn't have success on were like Weight Watchers. Anything that I had all the choices and I had to count calories, woo, those didn't work for me. So I'm not knocking any of those. It's just an awareness for me that limiting particular foods gave me an easier time, more success. So my invitation to you is to do the awareness document, to start being aware of what is triggering you. Why are you eating when you choose to eat off plan? Are you tired? Are you angry? Are you lonely? Are you actually hungry? What are you choosing to eat? How do you feel after? Just getting really honest with yourself so you can do an inventory of your current relationship with food. When you learn your particular trigger foods, it actually makes your life easier because you can avoid them. You know, some people sit down and they'll start eating popcorn, watching TV, and next thing you know, they've eaten 3 bags. If you can eat 1 ounce of popcorn or, you know, a half a bag of popcorn, and it doesn't cause craving for more, then it's not a trigger food for you. So you can start to look at, ooh, when I eat this, I want 5 more. Oh, when I eat this, I'm satisfied. So we all have weaknesses, so I want you to just take this moment and think of one food that trips your trigger. And I just want a couple people to raise their hand, and you can mention one food that trips your trigger, that makes you want more when you eat it.
Cheese puffs.
So you know when you eat those, it's not necessarily the safest food for you to eat.
Yeah. It's not.
Okay, good. Thank you for sharing that.
I like cheese and candy.
Cheese and candy. So
yes.
You notice when you start eating cheese that you eat more than you intended to eat?
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. It's very difficult to stop. And the same with a good chocolate.
Oh, yeah. Oh, chocolate's definitely one of mine. If I start eating chocolate, I'm off to the races. And, you know, chocolate's a common one for many people, and the reason is it makes serotonin in the brain. So it actually causes a chemical reaction that makes us feel good, and serotonin is the same thing produced by alcohol. So
mm-hmm.
Chocolate and alcohol kind of go together in that way. So another way to get serotonin, I'll give you guys a free tip, is to take tryptophan, which is in Turkey, and they also sell it in a supplement. And tryptophan is a precursor for serotonin, so it helps your brain make more serotonin, which we need. So as you can see, each person has their own food. So as you go through this program and you decide, you know, today I'm going to eat this, notice what you're eating, does it cause you to eat more, and how do you feel after? And you need to start, you know, part of making your lifestyle design is being honest with what foods trip your trigger and keeping a list of those. And those, you know, I like to make a little skull and crossbones, and like, these foods are poison to me. And it doesn't mean they're poison to everybody, but they're poison to you, and so it's about honesty. I love the definition of insanity, doing the same thing over and over, expecting a different result. And I have certainly done that with food. I did the same thing over and over, I expected a different result, and I finally had to learn that there are certain things that even though I want them and they taste good and they make me feel good in the moment, they have diminishing returns. And so I want to invite you into a lifestyle that has large payoff instead of diminishing returns. So that's all part of acceptance, looking at our weaknesses. You know, maybe it's not a personal weakness. Maybe it's not willpower. It can be a chemical reaction. And the experts definitely say yes. Just like we talked about chocolate making serotonin, refined sugar actually has a narcotic-like effect on the brain. The food consumers know this. They put sugar in everything because it makes you want more. And it's a little bit strange to think that we might be taking heroin legally, isn't it? So awareness allows for choice to begin. You can choose to accept what you've learned, or you can deny the facts about the truth that you've discovered. So I invite you to take that quiz, if you know, the one we went over today, and write the experiences for yourself to bring more awareness. And acceptance is the second A. So now you've gathered awareness. So acceptance is learning to believe it. You know, you may try to deny the awareness you've gathered or to try to prove it to be untrue. I had to do this. I'm completely bullheaded. I learned, okay, sugar does this and this does that, and maybe I need to get off this to lose my weight, to get my prediabetes under control. I wanted to prove it wrong. So I tried everything to be able to have moderation with food. You know, eat a little of this. Only on Sunday eat what I want. Only at a party eat what I want. Those things did not work for me. My truth is that that doesn't give me freedom. Especially if the truth you've discovered means that you'll have to experience loss to make a healthy change. So this loss, like for me, the loss of chocolate, I mourned it. But now I have a healthy lifestyle that gives me great payoff instead of that diminishing return. The more awareness and information you have about your current behavior and the effects they're having on you, the easier acceptance will become. So just keep gathering that awareness. Keep in your honesty. If you find that you're still trying to deny some of the truths that you've discovered in the process of informing yourself, go further. Dive right into those truths. Do it again. Do it again. Do it again until you get the proof that you need of how you feel after. True acceptance means recognizing the why, the how, and the what of your behavior without attempting to deny it, protest it, or exit. And I'm going to read that again. True acceptance means recognizing the why, the how, the what of your behavior without attempting to deny it, protest it, or exit. So when you can truly accept that a certain food is poison for you, you move towards actions to remove that food from your life. These are your trigger foods. So action is, once you have the awareness that you're a food addict or you're an emotional eater or that cheese puffs trip your trigger, you can accept that this is what you're dealing with. Then you can move toward responsible action. Once you have all the knowledge of the why, what, and how, and you accept those facts, it'll be easier to see the path of action that you have to take. I want to give you an example of that. Learning that I was pre-diabetic and I was 60 pounds overweight, you'd think I would have awareness right away, right? The doctor said, hey, this is truth for you. So I became aware. I was kind of in denial that the way that I had lived had caused that. So I began to gather knowledge. And I wasn't in acceptance. I was in anger. I was mad. He told me I needed to lose weight and get off sugar, and I was very mad. I loved sugar. And so I had to get past the denial phase. I had to learn about prediabetes. I had to learn about what I was doing to my body, learn about food addiction. So this is my story of gathering this awareness to move into acceptance. Once I fully accepted that I couldn't safely put sugar in my mouth, not knowing when it would stop, if it'd be 2 days, 5 days a week, and I'd gain 5 pounds back that I had just lost, I accepted it. I accepted that this is true for my body. It's easier for me to not take the bite than it is to take the bite. So I have worked with lots of people to lose weight, and I have about half and half. I have half emotional eaters and half food addicts. And my emotional eaters can safely learn this new lifestyle. They can have moderation, and their maintenance looks like our basic plan. And then they might have a couple beers on the weekend with their friend, or they might have a piece of cake at a party. They add a little bit of grain in. They can have some treats here and there. That's their maintenance lifestyle. For food addicts, it's very similar to what we're doing, only we add in a lot more grain. We get to have potatoes. We can have mashed potatoes. We can have rice. We can have corn tortillas. There's a lot of creativity that I have with my food, but I have never put back in the foods that trip my addiction. My goal for you is that you get awareness, you accept that truth, and that you get into action. And action is a huge piece of this program. It's about learning what is your lifestyle design, what are the tools, what are the modalities, what are your daily truths that you need to live by to embrace this for life. So included in this lifestyle design is many different things. You know, each person's lifestyle design ends up looking different. We have a basic nutrition plan. What you're on now is what I like to call the basic nutrition. It's what your body needs to feel energized, to have anti-aging, to be fed nutritionally. And from there, we add different things into our nutrition part. If you always stick with basic, you'll always be getting the fuel that your body needs. As we add food in, that is part of your nutrition program. Each of the things that I introduce in this program, one of them is journaling. That's a tool. One of them is the modality sheets. I hope that you all printed them out. Those are tools that you can use throughout the day. So when I talk about lifestyle design, it's like, what do you have in your daily life that helps you stick to this new way of living, this new habit? So I would love to take some time just to do some hot seat coaching or address any personal concerns any of you are having.
The struggle is, I mean, it's embarrassing to admit, I'm going out a lot. And it's usually a glass of wine or a little bit extra or the same. I mean, the attractiveness of the food at the public places. And for me, it's usually the evening, because when I'm at home right now, when I'm on a program, I'm very good at following. And even when I'm upset or tired, I can manage not to overeat. But sometimes when I am out, I will come home and I will eat when I'm tired. Plus, I mean, public places and having dinners and being in a nice company, because you recommended not to go out approximately for a month or two. But it's not my lifestyle, and it's not my life, and I cannot, and because what I do, I cannot not to go out.
I know that you have a very social and busy lifestyle, and with your work too. And the reason I recommend to not go out to eat is just to establish a new habit. And so you can absolutely do it while going out to eat. It's just harder. It's harder to get that new habit. And so it's looking at restaurants that have on the menu what is on your food plan. And it's very easy to eat out. I mean, there's salads, there's protein, there's vegetables usually at most restaurants we go to. And so it's learning that new habit of having tea rather than wine, or ice water with lemon, or soda water and lime rather than a glass of wine. And then my one of my tips for eating out is to get whatever's on my food plan in front of my face. If there's more on the plate, I put it on a different plate and I have the waiter remove it from the table. If other people are eating bread or chips or that kind of thing, I just scoot it to the other side of the table. And there, you know, I would encourage you in a personal strategy session to really get some tips for eating out, because there's safe ways to do it, and you can absolutely have this way of eating and change the behavior around it. It's just a little harder when it's in your face every day, but you can do it and it can be done.
Probably you were talking about how to eat at the restaurant, and I'm thinking that I eat okay at the restaurant. I think that if I'm tired or I'm upset and I'm walking into my house and I'm alone, this is when I'm going into the refrigerator.
So that's when
to stop my hands from opening something or get one candy and then pluck in my mouth another two or three.
Yeah. So I know that you shared that you go home to an empty house now, and I think that that's key. And then also a tip is that's, you know, a perfect description of emotional eating. You know, you do okay when you're social, you do okay when you're out, but what happens when you're tired and then you go home and go to the fridge? And so that is looking at, I would love for you to start journaling when you walk into your house. Instead of walking to the fridge, go to your journal and write down exactly how you're feeling in that moment. I'm tired, I'm lonely, I'm, you know, feeling anxious, I am craving food. Whatever it is, writing that down, just taking that one moment to change the regular behavior of going straight to the fridge. And then ask yourself what you need, because what you need isn't food, but you're filling a need that's not being met. You know, maybe you need some affection, maybe you need to be soothed. And I invite you to journal, like, wow, what am I needing right now? Am I needing a hug? And there's ways you can give yourself a hug. It doesn't take somebody else there. So I just want you to really dive into that awareness, and then we can give you some exact modalities of how to get those needs met that you're meeting by walking to the fridge. And it'll take time to break that habit.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome. We have some concepts that we're going to go over on some upcoming calls, and I'm tempted to dive into them, but we're not going to. So I'm going to see if there's some little self-work that we can do for the rest of the day to really support you in getting those needs met. If you don't have access to pen and paper, just do this mentally in your mind. If you have access to pen and the paper, I want you to think about what feelings come up for you when you want the food. And like Mira was talking about, I go home and I go into the fridge. So I want you to write, I feel tired, I feel lonely, I feel irritated. Just what are the feelings that you have sometimes when you choose to pick up food? I want you to write down any negative feelings that you have in your awareness and just take a moment to write those down. And now I want you to write down what you think you might need in that moment. So we have those feelings, and what we do is pick up food. That's not what we need. So in those moments, you read the feelings that you've written down. What do you think you might need when you're tired or you're angry or you're stressed out or you're lonely? And I want you to write, I need a hug. I need a nap. I need rest. I need to take a pause. I need affection. You know, think of any life needs. I need water. Are you hydrated? So I want you to write, I feel, and all those negative feelings, I need, and what are the positive thing that you're needing in that moment? Not food, but what do you really need? You need to lie down. You need rest. You need comfort. You need a hug. You need acknowledgement. So take a moment to look at what you might have been needing instead of food and write that down. Okay, and then the third thing I want you to do is write actions. So you wrote, I feel, I need, and my action to meet that need. So I want you to write down my action to meet that need. So your previous action to meet that unmet need was food, right? You were using food to meet that need. So I want you to write a list of actions that could meet that need without eating, whether it's a bath, whether it's putting your hand on your heart and taking some nice deep breaths and going, I love you. I love you enough to slow down and give you some soothing breath and know that you're cared for. Some self-talk. So self-talk could be an action. A bath could be action. A self-hug could be action. Lying down could be an action. So what actions could you do to meet that need that you just wrote down? I want you to list at least 5 different things that you could do other than eat. So I'm going to give you an example of those 3 columns, and then I'd love to open it up for shares if anyone wants to share some of their negative feelings, their need, and then how they could meet their need without food. So an example would be, I feel tired. I need rest, but my problem is at the end of the day, I'm cooking for my kids and don't really have time to take rest before that. So my action could be to take care of myself during the day, you know, take time out to do 10 minutes of deep breathing right while laying down so that I'm doing preventative tiredness, or to take a 5-minute pause and meet my own need with self-talk saying, I know you're tired, I love you, you're going to get through the rest of the evening. It's worth taking a 5-minute break for you before you move on to the rest of your obligations. And or I could also do an action to meet my need for rest by doing a modality like we did on the phone, like the kidney slapping on the meridian to give my body energy to say, hey, I'm not denying that you're tired. I'm going to give you something to give you some energy right now so we can push through the rest of the day. So that's just one example where food would have been my go-to. It would have been chocolate or something to shoot my insulin level up so that I could have more energy to get through that need for rest. So it's how do we feel, what's our need, and how do we meet it without food? So what we're going to do right now is a modality to shift you off the station of those negative feelings, get you resonating with having your need met, and then get you resonating with taking the positive action to meet that need rather than food. So any modality you learn is something you can put in your toolbox for your daily design for living. So we're actually needing hip movement. So hip is to bring joy into your daily life. Hip also opens up the water chakra, which is creativity and new beginnings, sexuality. And I once heard someone say, if you need to get creative, get turned on. So we're going to turn on the water chakra and turn on our hips. So I want everyone to stand up. And I want you to start by rocking side to side with the hips, just pushing the left hip out, pushing the right hip out, like you're bumping into something, like you're shutting the car door that's not quite shut. Really shake it. Go to the left and to the right, shaking the hips. And I want you to thrust forward, thrust your derriere back, thrust your hips forward. thrust back and thrust forward, opening those hip joints, lubing the hips. In the Louise Hay book, it says, hip, hip, hooray, there's joy in every day. She correlates joy with open hips. Then I want you to do some figure eights with your hips, pushing your left hip forward and back. Just draw some figure eights on the floor. If you don't know exactly how to do that, just really move your hips in circles. Exaggerated movements, moving, getting some hip action into your day, some joy into your day, some movement into your day, some creativity and kundalini energy. And then just take a moment to shake your whole body out, just waking up each part of your body, saying hello to your body with your breath, shaking it. Shake your wrists, your hands, your arms, your back, your derriere, your belly, your thighs, your knees, your feet. Shake every single part of your body so your body knows that you've acknowledged it from head to toe today. And when you're ready, come sitting down again. I want to acknowledge all of you for taking this time for yourself, for looking at your negative emotions that come up, for looking at what the need may be underneath it, and then what positive action can you take rather than eating food. And this is a practice. This is a lifestyle, and it takes time. So I want you to jump into awareness, move into acceptance, and then start learning the exact actions you need to take on a daily basis to back up your vision. Thank you so much for being on the call. That's complete for today.